And this is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monk. Cincinnati Public Schools became the first school district in the country to adopt the plan known as Vision Zero. It's an effort to increase and improve pedestrian safety. And the school board's vote to adopt this policy followed several unfortunate incidents involving crashes that injured and even killed some students within the school district. But the board's move to adopt this was really led by some students. And we're going to talk about that aspect of this today. And joining Cincinnati Edition to talk about Cincinnati Public Schools' adoption of Vision Zero is Madeline Gerker. She is a sixth grader at Sands Montessori. Madeline, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm also good. Thanks for being here with us. And we're joined on the phone today by Cincinnati Board of Education member Mike Morosky. Mike, how are you?
Doing great. How are you doing, Michael?
Doing well. Thanks for joining us. And we have Vision Zero Task Force board member Derek Ballman with us as well. Derek, welcome back.
Hey, thank you. Always great to be here.
All right. So let's get started with you, Madeline, because we have talked about Vision Zero on this program a couple of times. I'm sure our listeners are somewhat familiar with it. We'll improve that familiarization a little bit later with some definitions and all that. But I want to talk to you as a student, someone who walks to school. Tell our listeners which part of town you're in.
I live on the east side of town.
Okay, and so you're kind of like in Mount Washington?
Yeah.
Okay, and you walk to Sands Montessori?
Most times, yeah.
Okay, we'll talk a little bit about what that walk is like.
It can be scary because most people just speed because they can't see the speed limit sign. It's covered by all the bushes, and it's pretty rocky, so that at least once every month, then they will have to fill in some of those holes.
Okay, and so what does that make you feel like when you're walking and you sense that these cars are going faster than they should?
Then we usually just get onto the grass, or we go onto someone else's driveway.
When you say grass and driveway, does that mean there is not a sidewalk for you?
No, there's not.
What street are we talking about primarily?
Sussex Avenue.
Okay, so on Sussex Avenue, where you're to walk to school, there's not any proper sidewalk.
No.
And are there a lot of kids who are walking to school, to Sands, on that path?
Yeah, there are a lot more families that walk to school because there's a little back area where more people walk to school.
How long of a walk is it for you?
I'm not really sure.
Okay. You don't know how many minutes it takes you to get to school each day?
About 5.
About 5 minutes. So it's a short walk, but it's still kind of scary for you.
Yeah.
Okay. So you decided to get involved on this because you saw that it's dangerous, not just for you, but for kids all over the city in various neighborhoods, that they can't get to school on a safe sidewalk. And we hear a lot about Cincinnati Public School kids, unfortunately, being struck by cars. What got you involved? And how did you get involved?
Well, at first I just asked my mom why we didn't have a sidewalk, and she didn't know. So she did some research, talked to some friends, and then she couldn't find out. And then I asked her again, and then she, still didn't have an answer. So she kept trying, and then I just took over for her.
So you took charge of the situation, and tell our listeners what you did, Madeline.
I wrote a letter to the mayor. Saying that I didn't have a sidewalk, and I was saying how dangerous it is to walk.
So you wrote a letter to Mayor John Cranley about the lack of a sidewalk, and did you hear back from him?
Yes. I don't think I did.
You don't think you heard back from him?
No.
What did you say in your letter?
I said I was explaining how dangerous it is to walk to school, and we have to be constantly dodging cars, especially if we walk back from school, then we will during rush hour, then a bunch of cars just go down our street as a shortcut, and yeah.
All right, so we're going to hear a little bit more about your story coming up. I want to hear the perspective from Mike Morosky, a member of the Cincinnati Board of Education. He's on the phone with us, and Mike, we understand the reason that the board considered this legislation, but I'd like to hear your perspective on the students who got involved and rallied behind it.
Well, speaking as the Board of Ed member who sponsors our Student Voice Project, a member of the Student Achievement Committee, I'm always extremely interested in the voice of students, and I don't often speak on behalf of my colleagues, but I believe I can speak on behalf of all six of them when I say they are as well. And when students come to us with ideas, we want to embrace them to the best of our ability. Sometimes that can be hard if a student comes and says, I don't like math. Like, we can't do much about that. But when a student comes and says, there's something unsafe about my experience getting to and from school, we obviously want to rally behind that. And then when taxpaying engaged citizens like Mr. Bauman come with solutions such as Vision Zero, which I don't think anyone can be confused about the fact that we wouldn't be having this discussion about Vision Zero at the city and school district without Derek and other activists in the community, combined with the parent voice, we want to move on it and be serious about it. But Madeline, you know how much you've inspired our Student Achievement Committee and how much you mean to us. Her voice has really pushed these issues along, her and her peers at the other schools.
Mike, the Cincinnati Public School District has dealt with tragedy and injuries related to young pedestrians being run over. And with that in the background of this vote, talk about what you hope this policy ultimately means for your students.
Well, we would like to think that, by taking this vote to pass the resolution unanimously, and with the city's leadership showing they're taking it seriously, we hope that together we can try to make our streets safer for all kids. As you noted, two students passed away last year after being struck by cars. Pardon me. Around 17 total were hit. And this year, and Derek can correct me on this, but I believe after this morning, 10 students have been struck by vehicles. And so we're hoping that by showing our support for Vision Zero, that the leadership at the city, who has, the governance authority to do this, takes it seriously, and we start making our streets safer, and we start slowing them down, and we start putting pedestrians and kids first. Because if we don't, I'm not sure why we ran for these offices to begin with.
Mike, what, from a policy perspective, what are the steps that are being taken now that Vision Zero has been adopted?
That's an awesome question. I actually just received an email from Mel McVeigh at the city, and I know Derek was on an email too, and a couple of my colleagues on the school board as well. We got a pretty comprehensive update that included the passage of our resolution and also noted that conversations with the Ohio Department of Transportation have begun with traffic engineering at the city, with school district leadership, myself included, regarding a comprehensive Safe Routes to School reboot for the district. So the Safe Routes to School plan opens up different streams of funding for us so we can help with things like Madeline's sidewalk, et cetera. And then the city also is moving forward with their own Vision Zero planning. In the interim, we're having a serious conversation at the district level about what it would mean to take crossing guards in-house and not rely on the city anymore. That'll remain to be seen what happens there, but the contract expires on the end of December. And so we would like to see, what would it look like for us to take on crossing guards since we already pay for them and promulgate them and have more of them. The city's been pretty good about adding signage. I'm disappointed to say that enforcement of speeding is still lacking, at least in my opinion. To answer your question, again, loop back to the beginning, Safe Routes to School dollars, city traffic and engineering working with lights, if cameras are on the table, I think that could be a possibility, enforcement, et cetera. But I defer to the experts like Derek Bauman to fill in all those gaps. But that's where we are today, and it's positive, I think.
Mike Morosky is a member of the Cincinnati Board of Education. He joined us on the phone. Mike, I know you got to run, so we'll let you do that. But thanks for taking a little bit of time to talk to us.
No problem. And again, Madeline, look forward to seeing you soon. Same to you, Derek. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks, Mike.
And Derek Bauman was just referred to as an expert on this topic by Board of Education member Mike Morosky. You're a Vision Zero Task Force board member. We've had you on this program before talking about Vision Zero and the city of Cincinnati's effort to adopt that. Remind our listeners just what it is.
Well, and just on background about myself, I was a police officer for 26 years. And so while fortunately I have not had any close members of my family, I'm certainly acquainted with fellow Cincinnatians that have been struck and have suffered the impacts of this greatly increasing numbers of people that are being hit. But for me, I've seen the images and been there and comforted victims and their families. And so, you know, when we talk about public safety, I think it's very important for us to consider not only other types of crime. Obviously, gun violence is a challenge in our city, but we can't discount the fact that we have, hundreds of people being struck, thousands overall injured in traffic crashes. And because, you know, we have a car culture here in the United States, and certainly in Southwest Ohio, that's kind of evolved over the past 60 years with our streets designed that way, in terms of just fast throughput of cars. And so the Vision Zero model is looking at that and saying, you know, we don't have to accept that. The death and destruction that's going on our streets, just because that, you know, we need to utilize cars as tools to get from point A to point B, that doesn't mean that we have to have all of these folks, especially our kids, getting run down like this. And so Vision Zero is really a model that says, you know what, our streets are actually public spaces. There needs to be equity there, whereas in the city of Cincinnati, we have over 20% of our households that don't even own cars. But yet for the last 60 years, as I mentioned, we've been designing our streets and our roads, particularly I think on the west side of Cincinnati, which is where we saw two more kids hit today on Harrison and Queen City Avenue. And it's almost hard to keep track anymore, but my count, it's I think 11 or 12. And so we don't have to accept that. We need to have streets that are safe for everyone. We have more people wanting to bicycle today. We have folks on, especially around the downtown area, on scooters. We have folks using mobility devices, wheelchairs, the elderly.
And you're somebody doing that. I follow your social media. So you post a lot of photos about your life without a car. And so you spent some time in a police cruiser on the right side of the police cruiser, of course, as an officer. What has life been like for you adapting to this car-free lifestyle here in Cincinnati?
Well, I'll tell you, it's a little bit challenging as somebody who doesn't have kids, so I don't have to, you know, go to a lot of after-school activities and those types of things. And I live in Over the Rhine, so, you know, all the bus routes end down here. But for me, in terms of life in Cincinnati, it's been great. Sometimes we're just so ingrained in the way we do things that it's challenging to kind of step outside of that and think about how else can I get from point A to point B. And of course, there's a lot of health benefits and those types of things because it's an active lifestyle. You're walking more, you're riding a bike, and what have you. But the other thing that it does is really puts you close and to see from kind of a point blank view. For example, just today I took the 33 bus back from Price Hill, and I'm waiting at the bus stop, and I actually there was a gentleman that I was talking to in a wheelchair, and I asked him to move back because our bus stop is inches from the street, and we have folks on Warsaw where we've had a number of pedestrians hit. You actually see how fast the cars are driving, the almost reckless activities that take place, folks that are distracted on their phones and those types of things. And, you know, when you're standing there watching that 4,000-pound vehicle fly by you just feet away, you see how vulnerable you are as a flesh and bone human being. And so that's why I think the city and the school board, and kudos to Mike and the rest of the school board members, because quite frankly, we're one of the first school districts in the nation to adopt Vision Zero.
We'll talk about some of these younger activists that you're seeing. This has been an issue for you for a while now, and now you've got young people like Madeline Gerker and Jeremiah J.T. Thornton. Talk about their activism.
Well, it's been fantastic, really. J.T. and his crew last year over at Covedale, you know, came out with a It's Lit Not to Get Hit rap. I understand that they have a new one in under production right now.
Yeah, we're gonna talk about that because we wanted to have JT in the studio. It looks like we had a scheduling snafu, but he's on the line with us. Yeah, and so we're gonna talk to him now. JT, are you there?
Yes.
I'm so glad you were able to join us. After all, your friend Madeline Gerker is here also. Jeremiah, you were a student at Covedale last year, but where are you in school now?
I'm going to go to Walnut Hills now.
Okay, so now you're a Walnut Hills student, and you are also a young activist. You're a co-chair, along with Madeline, of the Youth Pedestrian Safety Task Force. And you're also well-known around here now for your rap about pedestrian safety called It's Lit Not to Get Hit. I think we've got a little bit. Stand by, and we'll play a little snippet of that.
So let me get started on all this craziness. Let's see, trying to die, but better switch it up quick. Let me teach a lesson. Teacher in the building. Get ready for class, because you're about to get to school. And rule number one, before you cross the street, look left, right, left again before you move your feet. Rule number two, hold up, I'm talking to you. Put everything down, you don't end up on the news. Rule number three is don't run. No driver is trying to hit a child. None. Rule number
JT, that is fire, man. So tell us, how did you go about creating that song? Did you do this by yourself?
Yeah, but I did make it with a couple of classmates. They helped me out along the way.
Awesome. Is the music industry something that interests you?
Kind of, but it was mostly a part of a competition for like a video to stop pedestrians from being hit. It was a Safe Kids Worldwide competition. So our teacher told us to make a catchy video, something to, I guess, attract people so they're listening to it as it's a commercial. And I was thinking like a very music would probably be the best thing because as a very popular genre, I mean, hip hop is a very popular genre.
Yes, it is indeed. And we've been talking to Madeline here before you joined us. And of course, she lives on the east side and talked about the road she walks down called Sussex and that it didn't have any sidewalks. And she raised a fuss to the mayor about it. You are on the west side of town. What can you tell us about pedestrians on that side?
So 2018, 13 students from my school district on the west side, they were hit by cars. One of them died, and that really like sparked, a want to stop it. So, and a tip also like every day for, once I get off the bus from school, I have to cross Queen City, and it makes me kind of realize that if I drop something or if I slip and fall, it could be the end of my life or that thing that I dropped.
Wow, that's such a troubling thing for someone so young to have to think about. What are some of the changes you would like to see in your neck of the woods that would improve that experience for you, JT?
I would like to see that drivers are being more aware of their surroundings and not just on their phone or not really looking at the road as they're driving, the speed they are. I would like to see pedestrians really focus when they're crossing the street and trying to cross mostly at crosswalks so they can stop themselves from being injured. And I would also like, so I had a little project at school about streets being too old. Well, it mostly reflect on the newspaper article, and it made me realize like some of the streets that I'm on like every day that my parents drive on, that I am in the car with, they're very old and they kind of need to be improved or renovated.
You know, JT, you talked about Queen City Avenue, and I certainly know Queen City Avenue. For the listeners though that don't know it, can you describe just how fast and how busy it is and how many lanes there are?
So Queen City, like the main part, I guess, the part where I cross, is 4 lanes of traffic.
There's usually a lot of cars on it, yeah?
Yeah, and they're going at like, 35 to like 60 every day going through there. I mean, there are no crosswalks, so there's nothing to be aware, but like, if there is a kid that has to cross to get from one side to the other, they at least should not be going some of the speeds they have been going on the street.
So, JT, you're saying where you cross, there's not like a traffic signal for pedestrians?
No, because it's just across and then up the hill into my neighborhood. So, and on the other side, there's no sidewalk. So, yeah, so I don't, they didn't really think of a reason to put a crosswalk there. And it's like in the middle of the road. And I guess it stopped a lot of traffic. But still, I just think drivers should be like aware of what's around them and sometimes stop going so fast.
JT, what grade are you in now, Walnut Hills?
I'm in seventh grade.
And how old are you?
I'm 12 years old.
Okay, a seventh grader and 12 years old from Walnut Hills. And Madeline, you've already said you're a sixth grader at Sands Montessori. And how old are you now?
I'm 11.
Okay, so we have an 11 and a 12-year-old here on the show with us. They are both the co-chairs of the Youth Pedestrian Safety Task Force. Madeline, what are the ultimate goals of this task force in your view?
The goal is to inform people about how important it is to stay safe while walking to school and or just walking in general on your street and crossing the street.
And so you're from the east side of town, JT's from the west side of town. What does it say to those of us who are grown up and listening to you that you kind of represent the total city because you're coming from both sides? What should we learn from that? Do you think we should learn that it's kind of a citywide issue?
Yeah.
Yeah. JT, go ahead with your thoughts on that.
I think the city has to, I guess, understand that it's not only happening in one spot, and it happens in all of our communities and areas in the city. And so we can all make a force to try to stop it, and we can all work together to try to stop this issue.
So tell us a little more, Madeline, about the task force itself. It's not just the two of you, right? There are other kids involved. How many?
Last time we had about 8 to 10 kids come, including me and JT. So
you have like regular meetings?
Yeah, we usually have one once a month.
Okay. And where do you get together?
It really just depends.
Mm-hmm. And so what do you discuss at those meetings, Madeline?
We usually discuss, like how we can spread the word, like maybe possibly touring, schools and telling and informing other students about safe pedestrian safety.
And you've seen some results because when we first started talking, you talked about your experience on Sussex. Now there were no sidewalks, but I understand there's grant funding available now because of some of the work that you've done. Is that right?
Yeah, we actually got a grant because there wasn't really a way through the city that we could get a sidewalk. So we went another way through the state and we're going to get the grant. So we're going to get the sidewalk, but we're going to get the money. But it's going to be a couple years before we get the money.
But ultimately, for students, by the time you finish school, and certainly for the kids coming up behind you, the route to school will be safer.
Yeah.
That's great. And JT, what in terms of the goal of the Youth Pedestrian Safety Task Force, I understand that you'd like to see representatives from all the schools?
Yeah. So also, we want to gather kids from all the schools and work as a community and become like a community and be young kids that are going to stop this issue and make our community better.
So we heard a little bit of your rap song, It's Lit Not to Get Hit. Madeline may have spilled the beans a little bit early on. She says that you're working on something else. What can you tell us about your next music project?
We still do need to get, I guess, recording of the video.
Yeah.
But I really like where we're at in terms of lyrics and stuff. But the song is already written. We just need to, I guess, get it recording. But it's hard just because of school and stuff. And school's been a little tough.
Well, what's the theme of this new song?
This new song is positioned towards drivers. Because since we address the pedestrian safety problem, we are now trying to address this the driver issue.
Awesome. And Derek Ballman is a board member of the Vision Zero Task Force, and like me, one of the adults in the room, and we've been listening to these very smart children talk about their activism and the results that they're seeing. And, you know, it just seems so powerful, the work they're doing.
Absolutely. And I don't know, are we the adults in the room? By the sounds of this fair. Conversation makes me,
yeah,
makes me question that. But you know, so I'm sitting there, you know, listening and thinking through everything, that both JT and Madeline are saying, and they're really hitting on many of the key points of Vision Zero, talking about it, not necessarily with all the terminology, but you know, Vision Zero is looking at a comprehensive program. And when JT mentions, you know, it's going to take all of us, that's the point of this, that community stakeholders, the city, the schools, the police department, Department of Transportation, folks like AAA and other outside organizations, you know, really getting behind this. And saying that this is a very complex problem. It's taken us a long time, unfortunately, to get to this point, but it's going to take everybody really working together. And so then when you hear JT mention things like the lack of a crosswalk on Queen City, for many years, quite frankly, communities have been calling for many of these things. And because the way that even in schools, we've trained our traffic engineers that the streets are all about, you know, cars and how fast we move the cars through. So there was pushback when communities wanted things such as mid-block crosswalks, you know, reduced speed limits, and those road diets and those types of things. And, you know, under a Vision Zero model, those things really become the default. And so, you know, when we're talking about this, we're talking about not only engineering, but enforcement as well. Mike Morosky mentioned that, looking at ways that we can, you know, make that more effective. And then really with the kids and the schools being involved, you know, the third big E of Vision Zero is that educational component. And so, and the media has played a huge role in this as well. And even yourself having us on here, Cincinnati Edition, and talking about this, raising awareness that this is an issue and a problem, is really letting folks know. And I think if nothing else, really driving a conversation, which is, you know, where this all needs to start.
You know, those of us who live in the urban core, the so-called urban core of the metro area, like you do, like I do, we're hearing more and more conversations about reclaiming access for pedestrians or utilizing alleys for community events and all these different creative things. But really, the most basic pedestrian access is this romanticized, idyllic version of America where kids walk safely to school. And so we're seeing young people take that into their own hands and try to reclaim that. And so, Madeline, I want to finish with one last question for you and one last question for JT. If there was just one thing that you could change today where you could get people to change their behavior in the way they approach pedestrians or the way that they drive, what's the one thing you would have people change right now? And JT, you could think about that too, because I want to hear from you also.
I'd say people putting their phone down.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so like no texting and driving kind of thing, because that's just distracting and dangerous. JT, what about you? What's the one thing, if you had the power to flip a switch and change a bad behavior right now that you see people doing that's dangerous for pedestrians, what would it be?
I was kind of along of the lines of Madeline's, but I would say drivers and pedestrians both need to be aware of their surroundings. Stop being on their phone, stop listening to music, and really know what's going on when they're walking on the street or driving or crossing a crosswalk or anything.
Well, we will keep our eyes on the Youth Pedestrian Safety Task Force, which helped push Vision Zero and its adoption through the Cincinnati Board of Education. We've been talking to the young co-chairs of the Youth Pedestrian Safety Task Force, Jeremiah Thornton, known as JT. He's a seventh grader at Walnut Hills High School. JT, thanks so much for chatting with us on the phone today.
Thank you.
And we've also had sixth grade student at Sands Montessori, Madeline Gerker. Madeline, thanks for being here with us.
Thank you.
And we've also had with us Vision Zero Task Force board member, Derek Ballman. Derek, thanks for being back.
Great to be here with you and the kids.
You've been listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. The producer for today's show is Elise Meckler. The assistant producer is Selena Reeder. The technical director is Josh Elstro. You can find archives of our program online at WVXU.org. I'm Michael Monks. And you've been listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. The producer for today's show is Selena Reeder. The technical director is Josh Elstro. Subscribe to our podcast at WVXU.org. I'm Michael Monks.